just a little in January. So someone was asking me about grief, and it has its waves, that's for sure. But I'm very thankful for the wife the Lord has gave me, and I'm thankful I know she's with the Lord. And but I do miss her a lot. But I want to just say thank you for your prayers and your thoughtfulness and your kindness. I really, really appreciate it. And it sounds like there's a lot of grieving today with all the losses. So let's just begin by praying for those who are struggling right now. Father, we come before you, and we know that when we have a loss, there's grief, sadness and hardship and heartbreak. And we just entrust each family, each situation into your care. We thank you that you are the God of all comfort, and we pray that they can sense your comfort in this tough, difficult time. And Father, we thank you for each one here, and we just pray that, Father, that the Spirit of God would so work that we might be in tune with you, and that you might work in our hearts, and that what is said would be consistent with your word and empowered by your Spirit just to accomplish what you desire. So we ask this, we entrust this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we acknowledged, lots of hard times for people. And of course, that's been a part of life in this world. And I'm sure you've felt, and maybe right now going through such a time. Isaiah shares with us a very difficult time that the Jewish people were going through. And I'm going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 40. And if you will turn with me there. And we will go all the way down to verse 27. But I want to give you just a little bit of a backdrop so you can appreciate how hard it was for them. Isaiah, and I'm quoting here, Isaiah wrote these prophecies of restoration of Judah. Now that was what was to come. But it was still, they still had 100 years of difficulty ahead of them, plus, and this is beyond my comprehension, they would then fall to the Babylonians in captivity. So, I don't think any of us have made it to 170 yet, right? But you're looking ahead. And of course, one thing you think about, and I'm sure those of you who have grandchildren, you're thinking about, okay, my kids and my grandkids. And we're already struggling. Pain and agony and disappointment, heartbreak. And Isaiah writes to them at this very tough time. And this is how the people were feeling. In this is just a short snippet. Isaiah 40:27 says this. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Now, when we go through hard times, and, you know, it just hits us and it won't let up, I think we can kind of understand what they were saying to God. God, where are you? Are you not paying attention? And especially as it extends out, we begin to, you know, say, God, there's a sense of accusation to the Lord. But then Isaiah, writing on behalf of the Lord, says in verse 28, do you not know, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. I think we often have to admit we do not know. And we haven't really paid too much attention when you're in pain. But notice what it says. Do you not know? Have you not heard? And this then reflects on God himself. The everlasting God. Now, apart from the Lord, can you think of anything that's everlasting? We have, thank the Lord, if you've trusted Christ, you have everlasting life. But it's only because the Lord is everlasting. Now notice, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Now, I think when we think of God, and I do think the world so pushes in on us, we a lot of times forget how awesome God is, how great God is. And even the world wants to ignore that he's the creator of everything, of the ends of the earth. You know, sometimes you'll have somebody who's a photographer and they've gone back into some area that most people never would get to, and they take a picture of like a beautiful scene or a mountain or some creature that I would have never seen apart from this photo that they've taken, and it's amazing. God, you made that? how did that come about? It's so overwhelmingly beautiful, Father. But God made that. God made that. The creator of the ends of the earth. And I think just some of the things that you've seen, you say, wow. How awesome God really is when I think about it clearly. But when we're in pain, we have to remember, we a lot of times forget how big God is. And notice what he goes on to say. God not is the everlasting God, and he does not become weary or tired. Think of the last time you were exhausted. My baby is not far back, right? You're just worn out. And I was thinking I was talking to a young couple, and their little one wasn't sleeping. And so the mama was like, you know, her eyes were trying to stay, you know, she just did not get any sleep. But God doesn't get weary. He doesn't fall asleep in the middle of the night. He doesn't get exhausted. He's not worn out. One writes, men grow physically and emotionally worn out. Now again, I'm sure you have memories. A time when you're so tired and you just think, I cannot go one step more. I remember one time, of course, most of you know, I'm from the prairies, and we were raised on a farm and driving tractors and all kinds of stuff. But I remember one time I was on a machine, a tractor, big old dual, and pulling a disc, and it was just, I've been going hours and hours and hours and days and days and days, and you know, I was so tired, and it was so hot, and it was so dirty. And I remember that day, I fell asleep on the machine and it was still going. It was just by God's grace I woke up. But sometimes we're like that. We think, I cannot go any further. The pain is too much. And for some of these dear people, the grief is too heavy. And we think, oh God. But God doesn't get weary. He doesn't get tired. And this is something also is very important for us to remember. His understanding, we're still in verse 28 of Isaiah 40, his understanding, we don't use this word very much, is inscrutable. It's beyond our ability to grasp. You know, sometimes we get so frustrated with God, and we say, God, don't you get it? Don't you know how much I'm hurting? But God knows the big picture. And God's knowledge is inscrutable. It's beyond our comprehension. I think of this passage, sometimes when we just were confused and frustrated, this is, and I'll read it to you, Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. And then it goes on to say, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. You know, God is looking at our situation, not just from the time of moment right now, but he's looking down the road toward eternity. And God has, he loves you, he wants the best for you, but that doesn't mean it's always an easy road. In fact, God is so big, he can use the hard things to transform us, to change us, and prepare us to reward us. But it's easy to forget, isn't it? It's easy to forget. But God's knowledge is inscrutable. It's beyond our grasp. And we just often do not grasp what God is doing. And this brings us to his provision for strength for our journey. And I think it's so important for us. It says in verse 29, he gives strength to the weary. He gives strength to the weary. He gives power to the weary, to the worn out, to the exhausted, to the frustrated. He's a source of the power we need. This is another beautiful passage in the Old Testament, but this is in Jeremiah 32:17. You may have memorized it. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heaven, again, the creator of the heavens and the earth, by your great power and by your outstretched arm. And then it says this, when you get a grasp of who God is, and then it says this, nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is too difficult for you. And we need to be reminded of that. Again, it doesn't mean life is easy. But God is with us. If you have trusted Christ to be your Savior, God is with you and he is for you. And if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, he invites you to trust him to be your Savior. He invites you. He loves, he wants the best for you. And he will give strength to us when we are emotionally or physically exhausted. When we say, God, I cannot take another step. God, I can't, I don't want to go forward on this. When we are just worn out. And it says, is going on in verse 29, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Him who lacks might. Who lacks might? I do. A lot of times we say, oh. But to him who lacks might or strength, he increases power. He increases power. He gives strength abundantly. One writes, he aims at making us realize our utter incapability so that we may take hold of his strength instead of despairing under our affliction. And I was so appreciative of the songs that we sang because it was referring to this in measure. We are weak. He is strong. Now, this is a wonderful passage. This has been a real help to me for a variety of reasons. This one, it might be a passage you want to memorize. I'm sure we'll all need it down there in our journey. This is in the New Testament. This is 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. And it's a wonderful passage. Paul writing this. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power, notice this, power is perfected in what? In weakness. We don't like weakness, right? But we're all there at so many times in our life. His power is perfected in our weakness. And then he goes on to say, most gladly, therefore, Paul's writing, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. You see, when we recognize our weakness, that is an opportunity to really draw on God's strength. If we think we're we lift weights, which I used to years and years, no evidence of it now, but lift weights, you think, oh man, can I do that squat right? And my grandson right now, he's got this weight machine, it's quite cool, right? I've never seen anything like it. He's going to be strong. He's a strong hockey player, right? Well, you know what? There are going to be times in his life he's going to be taken out on the hockey rink and in life. And in our weakness, God reminds us, you need my strength. You can't do this on your own. And this passage is a wonderful one to remind us. One writes, human weakness provides the opportunity for divine power. And quite frankly, I think if we think we're strong and we're invincible and we can accomplish anything, we're not going to draw on God's power. And that's why sometimes God allows us to get in those spots to say, hey, turn to me. Look to me, the Lord says. Look to me. Hudson Taylor, you may remember, I've referred to him on various times because he's such an outstanding missionary. But he said this, all God's giants have been weak men, who did great things for God because they counted on God being with them. Weak men accomplished great things because they recognized, I can't do this, but God can. Now notice, this takes us into verse 30, though youths grow weary and tired, young people grow weary and tired, usually the ones we think of that are strong or young, vibrant people, and vigorous young men stumble badly. They stumble badly. One writes, the strongest can never be sure of freedom from weariness and the danger of stumbling. Remember, now we're not going to share stories, but do you ever think of a time you really went face down, either physically or emotionally or spiritually? Now here are some things. I'm just going to pick up a few. Various things that can cause us to get so either emotionally, physically, or spiritually tired, we just collapse. One is discouraged by drudgery. Just keeping on, keeping on. Same old, same old. In Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not lose heart in doing good. Okay, God calls all of us to do good, right? I mean, if you're a believer, God has purpose for you. He has a plan for you. He has things he wants you to do. Do not grow weary in doing good. I find sometimes people that serve the Lord in a variety of ways, they often are unseen and unknown. And they just keep on keeping on. I remember one day I went down to the basement in our chapel, and there was this man down there. He was working on the floor. He's working on the walls. He was painting and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, nobody even knows you're here and probably will not even know you've been here. But just keeping on, keeping on, right? Now, do not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. We'll reap. Don't give up. But drudgery can cause us to want to quit. Discouraged by drudgery. Now, there's a number of things we could also add. I'm just going to add a few more. Distraught by difficulty. And that's what these individuals were facing in the Israelis in their future. And distraught by difficulty. Life is filled with all kinds of things that can cause us to get so discouraged And I'm sure we all have those illustrations, right? And it's easy to get distraught and just drop out. Now, there's another area. It's not so much in the area of exhaustion, but it's in the area of deception, deceived by sin. That's another danger. Now, this is in Hebrews 12:1. And it says this, "Lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us." Okay, so sin, we're all susceptible. It can entangle us. And then it says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Don't give up. Don't give up. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. I don't remember this personally, but my mother told me this years ago. When we were living on the farm and I was just a little dude, it had been before first grade, and I was, the good thing, and John, I was thankful that John Easton drove me today, and we were sharing a little bit about stories and memories and from the past. But in this one, we could go and run and do all kinds of stuff, and, you know, but one day my mom was, and she told me this, I was a little dude, and I had gone somewhere, and she couldn't find me. She was yelling, "Where are you, daughter? Where are you? Where are you? Come on!" And anyway, and so she said, finally, I came out of the end of the cornfield, and I was just little, and I said, "I was coming, Mama, I was coming." But she said she looked down, and there was this big old weed wrapped around my leg. And all the way I was a-coming, I was a-dragging that weed. You know, I was entangled, right? And it was slowing me down. I was a-coming, but not very fast. Entangled. Now, just think. This is between you and yourself and the Lord. What is an area of sin? We all have them. What is an area of sin that you're easily susceptible to? Again, we're not sharing testimonies, right? But we all have areas we're more vulnerable to. And we need to be careful. God, protect me and walk close to the Lord so it doesn't entangle us and take us down. Deceived by sin. Now, another one is devastated by hostility. Now, this is another passage out of Hebrews 12, verse 3. "For consider him," Christ, "who endured such hostility." I don't think we can grasp. I'm sure we can't grasp the hostility toward the Lord Jesus when he was put on the cross. "Consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." You know, think how many people started out for the Lord, excited. I know some young individuals are just really hyped, you know, and I'm really excited about that. I'm thankful for that. But I also know some who were excited when they started, and they got hit. Maybe it was a person who was real critical, and they're always, you know, they're in church, but they're always critical, right? Maybe it was somebody who did something to them that was really mean-spirited, really mean. And in that hostility, they just dropped out. They said, "I'm not having any more of this. I'm not going back to that church." And of course, it doesn't just happen. I mean, it might be on your job, right? But devastated by hostility, and we say, "You know, God, you're not paying attention. Have you seen what happened, what they did to me? And I'm out of here, God. I'm not paying any more attention to you. I'm not going back to church. I'm not going to walk with you anymore because you're not paying attention." And the Lord says, no. I love you. In your weakness, I can give strength, his strength to us. Now notice back in our passage, Isaiah 40:31. "Yet those who wait for the Lord," those who wait for the Lord. One scholar put it this way, "Waiting with steadfast endurance is a great expression of faith." You know, that's one of our problems in handling struggles, trials, disappointments, hardships. They don't go away in 5 minutes. Now, if you're watching a TV show, you know, they usually solve it fairly quick, right? But that's not normal in life. You think of the things that have hit you really hard. And one of the reasons it's so hard is because it won't go away immediately. It might be a health crisis. It might, as we've, these dear ones who have lost loved ones. And you just think, this, God, this is too hard. But when we wait upon the Lord, and I think of it in three T's, the trial, whatever your trial is, or will be, because we always got some coming, your trial, and then trust, that faith, okay, God, I can't see you, I don't feel you really, but I'm trusting you. And then, and this is what's so hard, time. It doesn't go, the problems don't go away quickly a lot of times. So we say, God, I just want to hang on to you. But this is a long journey, God. But wait upon the Lord, because God is, can be trusted. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. We can't carry ourselves. Oftentimes, but God always can carry us. He can carry us. And one writes this, in our weakness and waiting upon the Lord, men come to share in the boundless power of the Lord. And that's a quote. When we hit the wall, we hit the wall of weakness. We just, God. But then we realize we kind of adjust ourselves. We've been in the Word, even though we didn't feel like it. A lot of times faith is not feeling. Don't, make sure you don't, you know that. Because a lot of times when we faith, you don't always see it and you don't always feel it, but you read it in the Bible. God's like this. God is my strength. I'm going to count on that. I'm going to hold on to Him. Even though I don't feel it right now, and then I'm holding on to Him over a period of time as a trial just keeps on keeping on, and God will give me the strength to get through. I won't always feel great. I won't always feel on a high, but God will carry me through with His power. This is, again, I want to go back to this 2 Corinthians 12:9. I'm going to read a lot and a little further this time. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and the Lord Jesus said to Paul, my grace, just let that sink in, my grace, not just for salvation, but for the continuing of the Christian life, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in what? In weakness. When I'm weak. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. When I face my weakness, that's an opportunity for me to draw on His power. And notice, and then it goes on to say in verse 10, therefore, and I find this amazing. Now think about Paul. You know, Paul was not in some fancy house, you know, driving some fancy chariot. He was usually in jail, in prison. And notice what it says. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, and we all have those. With insults, we do not like those. With distresses, all kinds of things. With, can you believe this? Persecutions. You know, we get upset when somebody says a nasty thing to us. Paul was beaten, left for dead. He could handle persecutions, and then he goes on, and in one version it says, and I think it's a good translation, calamities. Even worse than persecution. Even worse than persecution. Calamities. The worst of the worst. Even in that, for Christ's sake, when I am weak, then I am strong. When I'm weak. How we need to remember that. The fact is, we're all weak. And at times it's more obvious, it's more felt than at others. Now notice, we read on. In verse, again we're in 31, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. I love that. Strength to carry on, to keep on. William MacDonald had in his commentary, it is when we are conscious of our own weakness, okay? We want to deny weakness. We want to, you know, we in our world want to be strong, right? Well, there's nothing, you know, wrong with lifting weights or running, but sometimes facing our weakness, we most depend on the power of God. And it is when we are thus cast on Him in complete dependence that His power is manifest in us. When we feel the lowest, God can lift us. Now notice this, and this was in one of the songs which I was really thankful we sang it. Again, we read on in verse 31 of Isaiah 40. I'll read the first part again for context. Yet those who wait for the Lord, trusting in the Lord over a period of time, will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. Wings like eagles. I quote a few points of information. Obviously, the eagle is one of the largest and most powerful birds in the world. And then one put it this way, eagles fly higher than any bird. The eagle's wingspan can go up to 7 feet. It allows it to glide effortlessly to altitudes of over 2,400 feet. A great bald eagle was once clocked at speeds in excess of 150 miles an hour. Whoa. I don't know if he was driving on the highway or not, but some other people think they can go 150, but the eagle can do that. Now let's listen to these words. And of course, they would be in awe of eagles, many of them. They will mount up, they will rise up, they will be lifted up with wings like eagles. Now that doesn't mean the problem has gone away. That doesn't mean the pain's all gone. But in the middle of their weakness, they can mount up like an eagle. It's a picture. They will run and not get tired. In other words, God has a plan, a path for us. And in the midst of our weakness, and in the midst of our grief, in the midst of our exhaustion, in the midst of our frustration, we can still keep going. It's like an eagle that can keep going, gliding along. Not that we feel painless, but God's strength is what carries us when we can't carry ourselves. We have a wonderful God who is sufficient for our journey. And it gives a picture of they will run and not get tired. Well, in the old days when I used to run, I used to got tired. But this is a picture. They can keep on keeping on when it's hard. They will walk and not become weary. As we wait on the Lord in His strength, we can walk on in life. It's a wonderful thing. You know, you think of, we were talking, several of us, just over coffee. Dear, dear people who don't know the Lord, they go through the same crises we do, right? But they don't have anyone to lift them up like the wings of an eagle in the midst of the heartbreak of life. But for us who know the Lord, even in our hardest spots, in our weakest moments, God's strength can lift us up to keep on keeping on. In His strength, we can carry on even in our weakness. Let's just have a word of prayer. Obviously, I don't know what you're going through, but we know just by the prayer request, there's lots of people going through hard stuff. Let's just take a few moments to pray for them and to pray for you and ourselves, that we'll remember how sufficient God is in our journey. Let's pray. God, we come this morning, and we just want to pray for those who are hurting so much right now. They've lost loved ones. They have sick children. God, we just pray that they might come. If they don't, they might come to the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and then they might find Him as their strength. And Father, for each one here, our journey has not been easy, and we know there's going to be some other hard spots ahead. And maybe several in this room right now are going through a very hard time. Father, help us look to You and Your Son, that in our weakness we might soar on Your strength. We pray this in Jesus' name.